Angel.
Hi, love. Welcome to Giving Hell. I'm your host, Helly. Wait, how does it go again? Let me pull this shit up. God damn it. I do this every time. Okay. I'm rusty still. Forgive me. I'm also in bed right now. That's why the mood is a little bit different. Trust me, this podcast is not going to be this vibe the whole time. Listen, let me say the intro, then I'll tell you about the guest I'm having. Anyway, hi, love. Welcome to Giving Hell. I'm your host, Helly. Giving Hell is your safe space to be a hot mess of a human, which I am, while connecting to your higher self. We talk all about health, wealth, self-love, and manifesting your dream reality. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you never miss an episode, and share the podcast with your friends because everybody's looking for a brand new podcast. Duh. Okay, like I said, we have a guest. The guest is my best friend, Erin. You don't know who she is. She's my little gem. She doesn't even want to give her social media at the end, which I just think is hilarious. Like, she's just so private, which I love her for that. But this episode is going to get a little bit more personal because, like I said, we are talking to my best friend, Erin. Okay, so welcome to season two. Things get more personal. You don't know the drill yet, but you're about to find out, okay? Erin used to be a really, really, really big skeptic on manifestation. Like, I wouldn't say a skeptic, but like a pessimist, you know, like she wasn't really like, oh yeah, okay, I'm sure that works. Like, just didn't really want to believe it. But then on top of that, like, it was hard for her to like change her beliefs. But let me tell you something. This girl went from dating, okay, serious tone real quick, just real quick. Her ex, she was just like in a very abusive relationship. It was not a good time. And now she is with, I truly believe, the one. If there was ever a one, her new now fiance, is the one. Okay, so it's beautiful. Imagine going from, like, in my opinion, the worst case scenario of a relationship, which is like domestic violence, to now being with the one. I don't even think everybody like finds the one. And if there's ever been a, like I said, if there's ever been a one, he is the one for her, okay? The funny thing is that Erin knew me before I ever manifested, so she knew me when I guess I was just, like, a regular girl living life, raw dog in life without manifestation, and then she saw me, like, discover it. I knew what it was, but we'll get into that. I knew what it was, and then she really saw me discover it, so we talk about that. She really, really gets into her relationship and her past. So I will say that there is a trigger warning. A small piece of the episode, we do talk about her domestic abusive, her abusive relationship. We talk about that. That is just a small piece, just to kind of give you the spectrum of like where she came from, where we came from, you know. We talk about where we met, which is a funky place. And yeah, I'm just excited for you guys to meet her. I feel like I'm like sharing, like, I don't know, she's my big sister, truly, truly. And I feel like I'm giving you guys my big sister for an hour. But let me just say, the funniest thing is that, like I said, she was like a borderline skeptic of manifestation. And when you listen to this girl talk in this episode, she is really, really, really giving you the tea. Like, she, I feel like I was even learning so much from this episode, from her, my little baby, my big sister, but my baby. Anyway, I'll stop talking because this episode is actually already long enough. It's my longest episode, like 30 minutes. We couldn't stop talking, and now I can't stop talking, duh. Okay. Goodbye. Enter Erin.
Hello, Erin. How are you, my darling?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Are you excited to be on your first podcast ever?
A little nervous, but nonetheless, more so excited to be on your podcast. It's a treat.
My podcast. I loved the emphasis on the your. So tell me, why are you nervous?
I have never been interviewed officially before.
Never.
Job interviews, yes. But this is a whole different entity.
It's exciting. You just get to talk about yourself. I love it. That's personally why I love it.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how this goes.
Okay, you're a Leo, so you're going to love talking about yourself.
Always.
You're going to be begging me to come back.
Right. I'm going to be like, when are we doing the next one? Let's record season three right now.
Erin, do you want to tell them how we know each other, or should I? It's a little bit of like a doozy. It's a bomb dropper. You want me to do it?
It's pretty heavy, so I'm going to let you do it.
So we actually met at a halfway house in Chicago. This was my second one because I had already been kicked out of my first. And I truly believe that it was the universe bringing me to meet Aaron, because I was actually kicked out of the last place for some bullshit that we won't get into. But we met at a halfway house in Chicago. It was really exciting. Aaron was already there. For how long were you there for before I got there?
I'm pretty sure I was there at least 8 months.
You were already there 8 months?
Before you came, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. And I remember my first day I woke up and the whole house was gone except for Aaron and one other girl. And I was like, where is everybody? And they were all at an AA meeting and everybody left me. And so they were just like, I guess I'll drive you. And so they drove me to the meeting by myself. And it was very...
I didn't even go with you. I dropped you off.
No, yeah, you just dropped me off at the door. Yeah, and we're like, bye.
Bye.
Have a good day.
Good luck to you. But it worked out. It worked out for you for a little bit.
I was there for some time. How long was I there for?
I believe you were there. It could have been 9 months.
Could have been.
It was a heavy period.
It was a heavy period. I had a great time. That was like the best time of my life.
Right. And for me, because like I didn't have that college experience, so I was like, this is it.
This is it.
This is my sorority house, and I'm going to run it.
It really was a sorority house.
Yeah.
Of just a bunch of drug addicts.
Exactly. My dream. Dream come true.
How long were you there?
Oh my God. This I'm embarrassed to say because most people don't stay that long, but I was there for a total of 4 years.
In my opinion, you were just so good at being sober and living there and having a good time that, like, why not stay? Overachiever.
I think part of it, going back to my Leo, was my ego. Because people would come up ego. And they'd be like, just so you know, like, I really don't want to be here, but I'm staying because you've really helped me. And that made me feel good. And I think it was that, those compliments and seeing physically filled my heart at that time.
Yeah, that is true. It was, that environment is very, like, because a lot of people come there after their darkest of days. So right. You do really get that super love right there.
Right.
Which
right.
I'm grateful for that. I feel like some places like that aren't so welcoming.
No, not at all.
But yes, people, I was living in a halfway house at one point in my life. Do not judge me. It happens to the best of us. You know what I mean? Well, just stay away from Xanax. Okay, that's all I'll say. What did you think of me when you first met me?
When I first met you?
Yeah.
I was intimidated by you, which is so weird because that was a time in my life where I was really starting to feel myself, because now my head's clear and right. I'm looking at myself a little bit differently, but my self-esteem was still shit. It was absolute shit underneath.
The self-talk was still negativo.
Yeah. And I think I did a well job of putting like this front on, and you came in and you were just so happy and bubbly. And
I was happy?
You were happy. You Aww. Seemed happy. But two... The very first memory I have of you is you were going to start a fund because you wanted pasties in the shape of pizzas.
No. I started a GoFundMe.
That's what it was.
This was controversial. This was my first like controversy on the internet. I saw these pizza pasties and I thought that they were just so freaking cute, but I did not have the tits to sport them. Like, I needed better tits, right? So I started a GoFundMe to get fake tits and raised a whopping $5 and had a lot of people angry with me because apparently GoFundMe is for terminally ill people. I thought it was to go fund your dreams, but I took it down anyway. So that was a fun time. That's one of your first memories of me.
Yeah. And I was like, this girl's insane. She's literally insane. And I knew that you loved pizza. Uh-huh. That was pretty much it.
Oh.
She was happy, loved pizza.
I'm very happy that you didn't tell the story that you normally tell about me when you first.
I would. I just didn't know if we were going that deep. That's pretty, pretty.
Maybe we'll keep that one between us. We don't have to put it on the pod.
Not right now. Maybe not right now.
Another day. Right. So actually, when I first met you, I knew what manifesting was, but I wasn't actively manifesting. Like, I had a friend in rehab, because you go to rehab before you go to a halfway house. If you didn't know, now you know. And she told me about The Secret and was like, if you really want a bike and you think like, oh, I have a bike, there's going to be a bike on your doorstep. And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. And I'm like, that's really all I knew. So I didn't really know what to do with that because I didn't want a bike. So during Aaron and Mai's friendship, she actually got to watch me become the manifesting queen that I am today. You know
Which
what I mean?
Insane. Insane. The things that I have seen happen in your life from, I think too, it has to do with your environment. When you are in that type of environment and the energies around you and the people around you.
Oh, for sure.
It kind of stunts your growth a little bit in the same sense. So watching you leave and seeing all these things happen for you. And I was like, Haley, what is going on? How are you doing this? How are you doing this? And you're like, have you ever seen the law of attraction? The secret? It's the secret, Erin.
Literally. And I was like, everybody, you need to know about The Secret. Change your whole fucking life. Just think about it. Just think. You guys, Just use your brain.
Literally, we're pitching The Secret for a while. And I'd be like, yeah. Okay. I think I popped it on one day when I didn't have to work and like nobody was around because I was still in the halfway house. But by this point, I was at least assistant managing. I had earned my keep there. And I had turned it on, and it was just, like, such a boring watch.
It is.
And I was like, why the hell is she having me watch this? What is about it?
Yeah, but it is then, pretty
bad. I really wanted to push myself to watch it, but I was like, I do not have the attention span. So I think I learned a lot from you verbally and watching you and, like, seeing the version of Helly when I was living with her to who you are now and what's happening in your life is absolutely insane.
When did you start using manifestation in your own life?
For me, it was one of the conversations you and I had, and I was talking to you about how sick I was of, like, staying in the halfway house. I was like, I want out of here. And at that time, I wasn't financially stable, or I thought I wasn't financially stable. So I picked up a second job, and I started doing, like, such a small thing, but it's so detrimental to opening my eyes and understanding, like, I am taken care of. Mm-hmm. No matter what, I will always be taken care of. Don't stress. Just always tell yourself, even if though it's not in front of your face right now, tell the universe, I will always be taken care of.
Amen.
And I remember I had just gone to go look at the apartment that I'm in now. And I went to work that night and I was waitressing after my full-time job. And I remember I was like, okay, I need $200 more for this apartment to put down. And like, it's mine. So I went to work that night and I remember it started to rain and it was an outdoor bartending venue. And they were like, we have to shut down.
Oh, this was the rooftop.
Across the street. The outdoor beer garden thing.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you remember.
Mm-hmm. I do.
And I remember that it started to storm. They were like, we got to shut it down, start closing up. 10 minutes before we're finally closed, they're like, people called from the hospital across the street. They're having a goodbye party. They're coming over here.
The universe.
And I was like, okay, this is it. I'm gonna make the money. I was the only bartender, waitress. So it ended up being a group of 10 people. At the end of the night, they ended up tipping me $40.
Okay.
Sorry, 42 to be exact. This is very important. Very important. $42 to be exact.
How many people were in the party? Because that does not sound like a good tip to me.
8. So it was not.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. Keep going.
However.
Mm-hmm. But you kept that positive attitude. You didn't let the reality of $42 being there stop you from feeling like you had $200.
Right. I'm $42 closer to what I need, regardless.
Amen. A freaking men. $42 closer.
Exactly. Remember that. So at the end of the night, my boss comes up to me and they're like, hey, you forgot to pick up your check. Do you want your check? And I'm like, who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
So I open it up. And I'm in the back patio, and I open it up, and what is in there? But a check.
Of?
$162.
Or
it was $156. Yeah. However it was, it evened out exactly to $200. I'm not a mathematician, okay? I didn't come on here to do math problems. The point is, that night I left with the $200 that I needed simply by believing and saying, I remember to myself, I am always taken care of. And literally.
Boom, bop, bam. And the universe is always listening. Literally, what you believe is what fucking happens. I'm proud of you for that. I didn't know that. Maybe I did know that story at the time.
I think I told you because I was crying about it. I was just so overwhelmed that I was able now to move on. I was able to move out.
And that was like your first like belief of like proof to you that like this actually is fucking real. Helly is not a psycho. She is, but she might be onto something.
Right.
Right?
My first punch in the face from Helly. With love.
With love.
But it worked. And the matter of the fact is, like, after that, I think it made it easier for me to believe that I was deserving of these things.
Exactly.
That I was like, yes.
The best thing is that the universe wants to give you all of the abundance. It wants whatever you see for yourself, it wants to give it to you. So if you only see the same situation happening for you over and over, oh my God, this always happens to me. I'm always da 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 da. I'm always struggling for money. The universe is going to hand that to you on a silver fucking platter. Maybe a plastic platter, actually. But if you're thinking, I can have the best. The best is for me. The universe will hand deliver the best on a fucking platinum platter and it'll be the best.
Right. Right.
You know?
So I think too, you know me and you know my past, but as far as like with relationships and men.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like that small piece, you can start like applying it to the rest of other your life. Situations, other things in your life. And it's so crazy how it unfolds. Like when you mm-hmm. truly look at it and work for it. I mean, it's work. You have to kind of believe in it yourself. But at the same time, it's just like, okay, now it's rolling. It's rolling.
Yeah, once that ball's rolling, it really doesn't stop. And I think the hardest thing at the beginning is like truly believing it. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people take speaking something into existence and think that that's all it takes. You just have to say it and it'll happen. But you really, to like lock it in and really like drive it home and make sure that the universe actually heard you is by believing that it's already happening. Right. It's the belief more so. The words will get you to start believing it because you say it so many times, you're going to start to believe it. I give you the trophy of most improved when it comes to the way that you looked at relationships. I remember you used to just kind of, no offense, can I be honest?
Yeah.
You went from taking somebody because they're interested and like, not really because you guys have so much in common, but like just because he's available, he's around. You would take anybody who was just around, not care if they even gave a fuck about you, and just be like, okay, like this is at least somebody. And you were resonating in this space of like anybody, any takers, spare change. And you were literally, I'm not.
Brutal. Do you want to know what's so weird is today, I don't know why, I do know why I screenshotted it, but it was the conversation you and I had about the bare minimum boys, the BMBs.
Oh, the BMBs. And I don't think I've talked about the bare minimum boys on my podcast yet.
Oh my God.
Tell the people what a BMB is.
A bare minimum boy is exactly what it sounds like. It sounds like a man who's going to do the bare minimum just to keep you at an arm's length to either push you away or pull you in.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute they realize that you have some sort of self-worth, they push you further away. And that's when they're like, I'm done. Oh, she's serious. Oh, I can't get this shit past her. I'm done. And that's literally the track I was on because I couldn't see anything else. I couldn't see anything else. It was, even though it was brutally honest, that was me.
She was dating the bare minimum boys. And the thing is, like, psychologically, when these guys will push you away, you'll start to get your confidence. They'll push you away. And that just makes you want to mm-hmm. pull even closer to them and do what they want and feed into their bullshit over and over and over again. So it becomes this, like, cat and mouse game of you constantly just begging for them to do just slightly more than the bare minimum and this constant arguing and chasing them. And then you get tired of chasing, your legs give out and you're like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to pick myself back up. And the second that you start to pick yourself back up, they really push you right the fuck back down. So it becomes a trap and it's not your fault for like falling for it or like being susceptible, because even I myself have been very much so susceptible to these BMBs. But anyway, continue. I just wanted everybody to know.
No, I think you should do an episode literally on BMBs.
A BMB app.
Because it's crazy. It's a crazy ride, you know?
You do not want to be trapped by these bare minimum boys.
Right. But I think too, a lot of it has to do with my history of who I was with and what I was going through. And Holly said, you know, obviously you guys know we met in halfway house. I had some issues with substance use, but those issues with substance use were because of a very turbulent, domestically violent relationship that I had with someone for 9 years.
Trigger warning, from here on out we will be talking about pieces of domestic violence.
Yes. So unfortunately I was just such in a poor mind frame about myself at that age, and I stayed in it. And I stayed in it because I started to develop this sense of like, oh, he's hitting me because he loves me. Mm-hmm. If he didn't love me, he wouldn't barricade me in the house. He wants me to stay in the house. Like, he mm-hmm. wants me around so much, he's going to throw my car keys across the street.
Right.
You just turn into this, like, demented human being, you know? And they don't...
It literally causes, like, brain damage. Like, you really don't function like a normal human being anymore.
You don't. And then it turns into, like, okay, now the threats are real. You're calling my house. You're going to say you're going to kill my family. You're going to kill me if I leave you. Mm-hmm. You start to believe those things. Mm-hmm. Which, in some cases, they are all talk, but there's... It happens so often that they end up being, they're not threats, like people really,
oh for sure,
just somebody coming from that aspect and that relationship,
that extreme,
right? Yeah. And being in that experience and living it and then comparing it,
at least he's not beating me, at least he's not calling and threatening my family to kill them, at least he's not doing this, this is a good guy, he's not doing anything, actually he's still disrespecting me. Like, it's very much so like you came from such a low that anything at all was oh my god, like this is amazing, you know? And then you're such a good person, sorry to cut you off, but you are such a good person and you have so much to give and so much love to give. Like, you taught me what love was, and it's just like you're giving your all but getting abso-fucking-lutely nothing from these BMBs constantly, over and over and over. And you're 100% right, it's because in comparison it's fucking great, it's truly a vacation.
And then too came the part of like, it's better than having nothing. Mm-hmm. And then it, like, the whole codependency issue, and like, that's a whole nother thing, that's a whole nother topic. But the things that I have now and where I'm at now.
Mm-hmm. You remained a good person through your dark times. And that's why I think you're in such a blessed spot where now you have a baby. You have an amazing fiance who I absolutely fucking love. Like, you're in a spot that, like, that's a lot of people's, like, dreams. You know what I mean? Like, not everybody's dream is to be married and have a family. But, like, that is a lot of people's dreams and goal. And you're in a position where you do have all of these things that you once only could dream about.
Right. I think a lot that goes with manifestation is acceptance, though, and letting go. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people want that immediate gratification of like, well, I manifested this and I said it in my head. So, like, it's Tuesday. I said it on Sunday. Where is it? And that's not it. Like, it could take months, it could take years.
And sometimes those things that are going on in between the actual manifestation and you actually getting it, those things needed to happen. Because could you have imagined that you went from your crazy abusive ex and then immediately met Victor?
Oh my God.
Like, all of the things that you had to go through in, like, those years in between, all those lessons that you learned, that you didn't have the confidence that you have now.
No.
Like, when you met Victor, you were a completely different person because of all the bare minimum boys in between.
And I think in some sense, there was healing in that.
For sure.
Like, depending on what you're manifesting, or, you know, there's people who are going to manifest, I don't want to say superficial, what's the word I'm looking for?
Monetary?
Material.
Material.
Which is great. Like, if that's what you want.
That's me.
I think mine was more of, like, a spiritual journey of manifestation.
Totally.
Which just also shows, like, the spectrum of manifestation. It doesn't have to necessarily be, like, oh, I want a BMW. Is it parked out front, you know?
Sometimes you just want to afford to live. just want to pay my rent.
Can I get a Big Mac today, or is it Top Ramen again? I don't know. But what's weird is when I met Victor, the things that mm-hmm. I had let go of, these things in my brain, like that the negative self-talk of you don't deserve this and yada yada yada. When I met Victor, we were both at very different times in our lives. If we're being honest, he was a patient at a hospital that I worked mm-hmm. at. And he was married at the time. Mm-hmm. And I had no other inkling about him other than I was like, he's nice to look at. He's gentle. He's just a gentle soul. And I feel some sort of way when I am around him.
Like, there was like that, just a connection.
Yes.
You felt it already? Just kind of like energy-wise?
Energy. That's what it was. It was energy.
Yeah.
So after that, I was like, huh. That was a nice experience. Like, there are good men out there. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he's taken, and just let me preface this, I am not a homewrecker. I did not do any of that. I did not.
But if you are a homewrecker, we're not judging. I'm just kidding.
But my old self would have said, this man is married and gave me attention. Like, what's next?
I'll take it anyway. Yeah.
Right.
Just because
what's
it gave
next?
Me attention.
Mm-hmm. But I didn't. I didn't engage. I didn't. None of that. It was just a nice interaction. And I was like, that was okay. That I felt something there. That was it. I felt something.
It gave you a little bit of like optimism about men in general after all the BMBs.
Right. Right. And at that time too, I was like, I'm at a point in my life where like I'm solely focusing on me. I don't need a man to validate like who I am. Like this was like at the peak of my confidence and like who I was. I was very sure of myself and I was like, I don't need this. Like, this is what I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on my mental health, like my self-health.
Would you even say that you let go of the thought of like manifesting love? Like you even let that go? Like you gave that to
yes.
the universe? You just like completely let it go. You weren't looking, you weren't begging, you weren't asking. You were
right.
out of that desperate space.
Right.
And just fully, just maybe not even like focusing or like thinking about it at all.
Yeah. Exactly. It might have been 9 months to a year and we bumped into each other again. I'm just going to say bumped into each other. We had another
meeting.
He came
back to work. He came back and was a patient at your hospital.
He did. He came back and he was a patient. And this time I had learned that he was no longer married.
V-boy is single.
But even then, I was like, I am not acting on this. I'm not acting on this because I don't know what is going on. I don't even know if they were fully divorced. I just knew that it was in the works. Whatever. We left it at that.
Yeah.
And at the end of that meeting, it was like, good luck to you. You know, I wish you the best. He said the same to me. And in my mind, I just was like, okay, I got to see him again. Like he was placed again in my path for a reason. And I got to see him. And now I have learned that he's going through a divorce. But I still left it. I left it and I continued to focus on myself.
You didn't chase. You attracted.
Exactly.
Boom, bop, bam.
That's huge.
That's huge.
You do not have to chase the things that you are manifesting. If you are manifesting and truly believe, these things come to you. This is the point of the whole story. This is the point of this whole podcast. It will come to you if you truly believe it.
It's
and
true.
What's also, I think, going back to the acceptance piece of, like, the timing,
mm-hmm.
there is no timing.
Yeah.
There is no timing. You can set timelines.
Timing is divine.
It is. It really...
Oh, I actually was having a conversation with somebody that I kind of had my own epiphany. When you guys message me on Instagram, it also, like, helps me kind of, like, process these things, too. Somebody was basically asking me, like, why is it taking so long for me to manifest love? But she wasn't manifesting love. She was manifesting a soulmate, which is, like, a divine relationship, which like if you're looking to manifest something that is divine, that is in divine timing. You know what I mean? You really, really can't rush that. If you're just manifesting any old relationship, like just a cuddle buddy, that might come a little bit quicker. But if you're really trying to manifest like
mm-hmm.
what is perfect for you, or like not perfect for you, but what is aligned with who you are and who you're meant to be, or your soulmate or your twin flame or whatever catchy phrase you want to call this person, like if you're really manifesting something that is divine, you need to have that divine patience, baby, because it's going to be in divine timing and you have no say. But anyway, carry on.
Literally no say, and you have to be okay with the no say, because
mm-hmm.
then I want to say maybe another 8 months pass, and at this time, like, I knew that when he was leaving the hospital, he was moving to Arizona. I had a friend who was also going to Arizona for a little mini vacay and happened to run into Victor.
Yeah, crazy.
While in Arizona, he asked about me and was like, hey, you remember Erin? Do you know how I can get a hold of her? My friend didn't have her phone.
If this isn't the universe, like, screaming that you guys need to be together and are meant for each other, he literally bumped into your friend on the other side of the fucking country
mm-hmm.
and asked about you. First of all, if he wanted to, he would. And if he would, he wanted to.
And you better believe that. Because he did. He asked if she had my number. She didn't have her phone on her. I don't blame her for not memorizing my phone number, which I'm a little upset about. But... there was no way. It was like, oh my God, well, I'll tell her you were looking for her or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So she calls me and she was like, hey, Victor was asking about you. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, well, if you see him again, give him my number. Long story short, it never happened. Victor quietly ended up moving back to Chicago. And I had no idea. I had no idea until a friend of his
mm-hmm.
was like, hey, Victor wanted me to pass this information to you, Anna. We'll call her Anna. Can you give this to Erin? So I finally get his phone number and I'm like, I'm not texting. I'm not nothing. I waited. It was the pandemic. I finally said, texted him and said, if COVID doesn't take you out, can I? And he responded and he said, Aaron. And I was like, it is. It's me.
Oh my God.
And then we started talking and I'm like, where do you live? Tells me his address.
Wait, I did not. Wait. I did not know that that's the text that you sent him. COVID doesn't take you out, can I?
Yeah, I did. It was pretty ballsy.
You're fucking hilarious. This is why you're my best friend. That is so cute and like funny and like that's, people take notes. Aaron is the shit. We love Leos.
But also I hadn't flirted in a long time, so I was like, I'm just gonna throw like a dad joke type thing in there because that's how he is. He likes it.
I love it.
So we started texting. I'm like, so where are you staying at now? He literally is a mile down the street from me. A mile.
1 mile. 1 mile.
A mile. A Chicago mile, but it's a mile.
It's a mile nonetheless.
Crazy.
This is the universe, literally, like, you cannot avoid what is meant for you. You cannot fuck it up. You can't even move across the country away from what is meant for you. Like, you will be moving right the fuck back to what, to where, who you're supposed to be with. That is the fucking their love story, and I already knew, like, most of that, except for the COVID text, but, like, your love story, to me, is the cutest because it's so clearly, like, you both were not, like, you know, people just get to an age and they're like, I need someone, I need this, I need that. Like, there was no need whatsoever. It was just, like, it is.
Right. I think it was a pretty clear sign, like, he's here now. Mm-hmm. Years ago, mm-hmm. he wasn't available. Like, he's yep. here now. This is it. I'm placing it. The universe literally was like, I'm placing him a mile away from you now. So we started talking and we actually were like, we knew, like, he was through his divorce and all of that. And we both had the same, like, life plan, what we wanted, why the things didn't work out. Like, he knows my history with everything that's happened to me and, like, accepts me for me. I accept him for him. And it literally is it's a movie. It's a movie. And
it is a movie. It really is. And you guys got engaged last
Christmas
Eve or Christmas?
Last Christmas Day.
On Christmas, 1 year. One year ago.
It's been a year. And then a month later, I got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And I now have the little boy that I've always wanted.
Always wanted.
Always wanted. Mm-hmm. And he's here and he's healthy. And
there was so much like fear in that too. Like, I remember like there was so much anxiety of like, will I ever have a baby? Like, you know, like more so than like, fuck the man. But like, you wanted the baby so bad. And it was like a chase until the moment that like you let it go, you attracted it, and everything just happened as it was supposed to, like exactly when it was supposed to.
Exactly. And I can't imagine if this would have happened 5 years ago and I didn't heal and it was given to me, like this gift was given to me, I would have fucked it up.
You would have fucked it up. And I think Victor had a lot of healing to do too before.
Oh my God. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yes, he did.
We're humans. I think in order to receive like what you are manifesting, if there is any negative connotation behind it or a different ulterior motive, like you really need to check yourself before
you wreck yourself.
You think you're going to attract all these positive things in your life. And I'm so grateful that I had that opportunity to do that and sit down and shut the fuck up and chill out for a minute.
Yeah.
And now here we are.
Yeah. Like if you're resonating, if you are vibrating in like a desperate kind of anxious area, you're going to attract desperate, anxious, unwell people. Like, you know what I mean? The bare minimum boys, like Aaron, you, one of them was just so mentally unwell. I'm like, he's not gonna be, he can't function as a human being. Like, let's look at that. And like, it might be harsh to look at that and be like, that's what I'm attracting. That says something about me. That's what I'm tolerating. That says something about me. Like, you have to take some things a little bit personally so you can actually assess them and fucking check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Right. I forgot about that one. That was a hard lesson. You told me that. That's the whole thing. Like, I didn't really understand, all right, well, why am I getting mentally ill men in my life? And you literally were like, check yourself, because you're mentally ill right now, you idiot.
You've got some things to check out up there.
Yeah.
Get a therapist.
Oh my God, I love just how you're like, you dumb bitch. This is... That's how I know you really love me, is because you just blatantly and bluntly tell me how it is, and I needed that, and I'm so grateful that you showed me, like, this opportunity. Like, it's not the secret on Netflix is no longer a secret.
No. I know, I really do hate, like, how awful that movie is, because it's quite literally like a school project. Like, that's how it's presented as. Like, it's not exciting at all. That's why I love this podcast, because I think it just kind of makes things a lot more understandable.
And relatable.
But I thank you so much for sharing all of that with us. Honestly, like, this has helped me, myself. I know that I delivered it to you now, but now we're just, like, ping-ponging back and forth off of each other, inspiring each other, and just doing great. The craziest thing, you guys, what was it? October 1st, what happened to you? There was something that happened October 1st. Oh, you were, like, gonna go into labor or something. Like, that was the expected day, and that was the day that I was moving. And we're like, isn't this crazy that, like, the same day that your baby is fucking coming, that's when I'm literally moving to, like, a big city to, like, pursue my dream.
It is. It's like, one life ending and one beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like we're always constantly tied, no matter where you are, and I'm just so proud of you, and you wouldn't be where you are without all of this, you know, and you're just a beam of light and knowledge, and I just am so happy to know you. I love you so much.
I love you, Beep.
Thank you for having me on here.
I love you. I love you. I'll let you get back to your baby and your amazing, amazing, amazing fiance.
Oh, Beyonce?
Beyonce. And I love you dearly. Thank you so much.
I love you. Thank you for having me.
Anything? Do you want to plug your Instagram or your TikTok, anything like that?
Absolutely not. It's embarrassing. I'm done here. I'm done.
All right. I love you, baby.
I love you too.
Bye.
Bye.